Grace be yours and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon devotion is based on Paul's words in 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter. We read there verses 6 to 8 and 16 to 18. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, and now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. The Apostle Paul could have added those words to his last testament that he wrote to Timothy, pastor in Ephesus. Very soon, a Roman executioner would take a sword and behead the faithful apostle, thus drawing to a close nearly 4 decades of faithful service of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles so that they might hear it. But stone walls do not a prison make, or iron bars a cage. For the Apostle Paul, his prison was the stage from which he would exit this life. The stage from which he would leave this sinful world and go to be with his God forever in heaven. The man who referred to himself as one abnormally born, the least of all the apostles, soon would enter into eternity and receive his crown of righteousness. His crown that his Lord was holding in hand, waiting to give to him. Paul knew that his righteous judge had this wonderful award of grace awaiting him. He had no doubts. He was certain. And he was certain that a faithful God delivers. I hope you caught that already I have used the word faithful with respect to Paul toward God and with respect to God with Paul. And that's the message that God has for us this morning. Our faithfulness to him that the Holy Spirit gives us, and his faithfulness to us, which he promises us in his word. And that leads to our theme for both God and believers, faithful to the very end. Paul had kept the faith to the time of his departure, and God would keep his promise to give to Paul the crown of righteousness. These are some of the final inspired words that Paul wrote in the New Testament. He wrote them to Timothy. He wrote them without regret, without fear, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is at hand. Like wine that the Israelites used in their drink offerings, that was poured out on the altar as a sacrifice, the apostle looked at himself as now being poured out as a sacrifice to God for the sake of the gospel. And in his faithfulness to God, Paul was happy to do that, to be a drink offering poured out to the Lord. Paul knew this time that there would be no release from a Roman prison. It wasn't like years before when they let him go. Now he knew that the time for his departure was at hand, very near. The way to describe the life of Paul is that he was faithful to God to the end. Paul stated as much, not in praise of his own strength and abilities, but in praise to God's strength and God's power that had kept him all of these years after calling him from unbelief and being an enemy of the gospel to be an apostle of Christ. Paul appreciated that he was a jar of clay, very breakable, very fragile, empty of himself. But into that jar of clay, God had poured the good news of the cross of Jesus Christ. And for years, Paul, in spite of all opposition, danger, preached that gospel to the Gentiles so that they heard it. And so many of them were saved and many congregations were established in the Gentile world. Paul uses some beautiful illustrations. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul had heard the bell ring at the end of the final round of his fight against the unbelieving world, of his fight against the unbelieving Jews, of his fight against those who called themselves Christians and yet insisted that one still had to keep the Old Testament law as well as believe in Jesus in order to be saved. He had reached the goal. He had reached the purpose of a race. It's to get to the end. It's for the thing to be over. And that's where he was in this life. And he had kept the faith, not by his own thinking or choosing, not by his own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can't we relate to Paul's experience in that fight, in that race, in that keeping of the faith against enemies? We face them all the time. We're still in the fight. God knows when he will ring the bell. We are still in the race. And God knows when we will reach the finish line. We will keep the faith. Because God promises who began a good work in us will continue that work in us until the appearing of Jesus Christ. And Paul speaks of our longing for that appearing. Literally, that love for his appearing. He will keep me in faith and give me that crown of righteousness. And not only me, but all who love that appearing. All who are looking forward to Jesus coming again. But maybe we can relate also to Paul's other experience. No one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. But the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength. Pardon me. So that through me, the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles may hear it. Perhaps there have been times when others didn't support us in our gospel ministry. Maybe they ran away. Maybe they decided to take their support elsewhere. Maybe they deserted us because of fear or family or worry about losing the riches of this life like the young man in the gospel. Or maybe we have deserted someone, not supported them, ran away from them when they needed us also to speak up, to share the good news of Jesus. And yet for Paul and for us, the Lord still stood by us. The Lord gave us strength. The Lord was with us, giving us what to say, how to say it, and worked faith in the hearts of many. Like Paul, thinking next week of Reformation, like Martin Luther, God has given us the strength to speak and to preach and to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles so that they can hear it, so that they can believe and be saved. We are able to present to the world the cross and the empty tomb of our Savior. We will continue to fight and to be faithful to the very end by God's power and protection. And these come through that message that we hear and that we share. We too are jars of clay, but the jars of clay that God fills up with His Spirit and fills up with His message. Paul knew that his God, to whom he had been faithful, will bring us safely to his heavenly kingdom. Faithful to the very end, God will take us to heaven. Faithful to the very end, God will take us to heaven. Now, I hope you're asking yourself again, well, who's he talking about there? Who's being faithful? Both. We will be faithful to God to the end. And God will be faithful to us to the end. He will keep his promise and will give us that crown of righteousness that he says is ours. Paul says, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." The Apostle Paul was, without question, a man of great faith. Maybe you've thought, boy, I wish I had faith like Paul. Or maybe I had faith like that other person, some other person in the congregation, or somebody I know. You know, remember when the Bible describes the faith of a believer, the great faith of a believer, he is not prescribing exactly that faith to me or to anybody else. We don't have the same strength of faith, but we all have faith. And faith like a mustard seed will save us. Would we like to have great faith? Sure. Should we strive to increase our faith and grow in our faith by the faithful use of the means of grace? Absolutely. But we also realize that some people have faith like Paul. Some people have faith like the man who asked Jesus to drive the demon out of his son. "Lord, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." But here's the thing. Instead of examining our own faith, we examine the promises of God. Paul was able to confess his faith in God. But more so, he confesses the faith of God, the faithfulness of God toward him. "I know that there is stored up for me that crown of righteousness." A literal crown? Maybe. But a crown of perfect holiness and perfect peace and perfect joy? A life without sin and without temptation and without the consequences of sin? Absolutely. That is the crown of our righteousness. And Paul said, I know that's waiting for me, not because I've been faithful to God, but because I know God will be faithful to me. He will be faithful and he will keep his promises. And he said, I'm going to have that. And so I know that very soon it will be mine. And not just for me, but as I said, for all who long for his appearing. For all who love his appearing. We will love the appearing of Christ because we will greet him in faith. We will greet him believing in him, trusting in him as our Savior. Remember last week, we talked about God, about Jesus as that righteous judge who put his judgment against our sin and guilt on Jesus. And because of that, has judged us not guilty of our sins. And so that righteous judge is the one before whom we will appear. Brooks this morning was crowned with that righteousness of Christ, with that forgiveness of his sins. The Holy Spirit created faith in his heart. And as he gets older, his parents and grandparents and we will help teach him more about his Savior Jesus to strengthen his faith. But God has brought him into his kingdom by the power of that promise. And so we know that it is true. And we know now what awaits him, as it awaits us all. When we hear the bell ring in the fight of our life, when we reach our goal, the finish line of our race, when Christ returns and finds that we have kept the faith because we have remained close to the gospel in word and sacrament. God promises in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the death, he promises us that Jesus has paid for all of our sins. In his resurrection, he has promised that Jesus, who is God, has conquered death. And we will spend eternity with him in life. There is a difference between my faithfulness to God and God's faithfulness to me. Our faithfulness to God is not perfect, not by a long shot. But still, the Holy Spirit gives us strength. The Holy Spirit keeps and preserves us in faith so that we can echo Paul's sentiments, maybe even with the same words. I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. It is a fight, isn't it? It is a race, isn't it? Keeping the faith is impossible for us. That's why the disciples in the gospel said, well, if it's hard for a rich person to get into the kingdom of God, and we're all rich and rely on things we shouldn't, how can anybody be saved? And Jesus said, well, you can't by yourself. It's impossible. But God has done it because all things are possible with God. We will depart and exit the stage of this life and enter into the heavenly kingdom because all things are possible with God. Our victory is guaranteed because unlike our faithfulness to him, God's faithfulness to us is perfect by a long shot. It is perfect and complete and sure. Our Savior is holding in his hand the crown of our righteousness. And one day, like Paul, he will call us to receive it, to have it, to enjoy it forever and ever. When I stand before him at his appearing, Jesus will place it on my head and on yours. And together we will lift our perfect voices and singing that new song that Paul says, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen.